Hello, Symphony. We have reached the final book of the Bible today. So glad you could join us this year as we journey through the New Testament together. With that, let's open up our Bibles to Revelation 22. Then the angel showed me the river of the water of life, bright as crystal, flowing from the throne of God and of the Lamb through the middle of the street of the city. Also, on either side of the river, the tree of life with its 12 kinds of fruit, yielding its fruit each month. The leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. No longer will there be anything accursed, but the throne of God and of the Lamb will be in it, and his servants will worship him. They will see his face, and his name will be on their foreheads, and night will be no more. They will need no light of lamp or sun, for the Lord God will be their light, and they will reign forever and ever. And he said to me, "These words are trustworthy and true. And the Lord, the God of the spirits of the prophets, has sent his angel to show his servants what must soon take place. And behold, I am coming soon. Blessed is the one who keeps the words of the prophecy of this book. I, John, am the one who heard and saw these things. And when I heard and saw them, I fell down to worship at the feet of the angel who showed them to me. But he said to me, 'You must not do that. I am a fellow servant with you and your brothers, the prophets, and with those who keep the words of this book. Worship God.' And he said to me, 'Do not seal up the words of the prophecy of this book, for the time is near. Let the evildoers still do evil, and the filthy still be filthy, and the righteous still do right, and the holy still be holy. Behold, I am coming soon, bringing my recompense with me to repay each one for what he has done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last, the beginning and the end. Blessed are those who wash their robes, so that they may have the right to the tree of life and that they may enter the city by the gates. Outside are the dogs and sorcerers and the sexually immoral and murderers and idolaters and everyone who loves and practices falsehood. I, Jesus, have sent my angel to testify to you about these things for the churches. I am the root and the descendant of David, the bright morning star. The Spirit and the bride say, "Come," and let the one who hears say, "Come," and let the one who is thirsty come. Let the one who desires take the water of life without price. I warn everyone who hears the words of the prophecy of this book. If anyone adds to them, God will add to him the plagues described in this book. And if anyone takes away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God will take away his share in the tree of life and in the holy city, which are described in this book. He who testifies to these things says, "Surely I am coming soon." Amen. Come, Lord Jesus. The grace of the Lord Jesus be with all. Amen. As I mentioned before, chapter 22 is not only the last book of Revelation, but of the entire Bible. And in this chapter, we see so many parallels to the beginning of Genesis with the Garden of Eden. In fact, we see the Garden of Eden restored. There will be a river with the water of life flowing from the throne of God. This river is flowing from the throne of God, and it's clear as crystal, and it's running throughout the city. In Genesis 2:10, a river flowed from Eden to water the garden, and similarly, the source of the river is now God to give life to those who are thirsty. This reminds me of Jesus with a woman at the well when he offers her the living water. This water represents the eternal fellowship of life that we have with Christ. Now, we don't know if there will be literally a river or if it's just symbolic, but the important thing is that the characteristics of our new eternal life and home will be life-giving and nourishing. We also see the tree of life return from the garden, but now it is yielding fruit every month with 12 kinds of fruit, and its leaves are healing for the nations. We see the number 12 again reoccurring with the fruit, signifying once again full completion. This alludes to Ezekiel chapter 47, where the prophet Ezekiel, he sees a vision of a restored temple with this water flowing through it, bringing life to all who touch it. Ezekiel 47:12 says, "And on the banks, on both sides of the river, there will grow all kinds of trees for food. Their leaves will not wither, nor their fruit fail, but they will bear fruit fresh every month, because the water for them flows from the sanctuary. Their fruit will be for food, and their leaves for healing." John's vision and revelation of this is like an upgraded and abundant version of the Garden of Eden. And instead of one tree that bears fruit once a year, there will be an abundance. God has come to give us not just life, but an abundant life. Another amazing verse from this chapter are verses 3 and 4. No longer will there be anything accursed, but the throne of God and of the Lamb will be in it, and his servants will worship him. There will be no more snakes or any other curses that will come. Verse 4, they will see his face, and his name will be on their foreheads. Again, they will see his face. This is huge. Let's look back and see the progression of seeing God's face in the Bible. Exodus 33:20, the Lord said to Moses, "You cannot see my face, for man shall not see me and live." In John 1:18, it says, "No one has ever seen God, the only God who is at the Father's side. He has made him known." But finally, on the day of the Lord, Revelation 22, in today's chapter, it says, "They will see his face, and his name will be on their foreheads." This is absolutely incredible. After the whole story of the Bible, we are unable to see the face of God, but now we see it in God's presence and his face fully unveiled, and we will be in the midst of it. We will be able to finally see him and see the glorified Jesus, the Lamb of God. 1 John 3:2 says, "For we know when Christ appears, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is." There will be full restoration. So when exactly is this day coming? Verse 7 says, with the Lord saying, "Behold, I am coming soon. Blessed is the one who keeps the words of the prophecy of this book." A few verses later, in verse 12, it says, "Behold, I am coming soon, bringing my recompense with me to repay each one for what he has done." And verse 20, "Surely I am coming soon." Now, our definition of soon looks quite different than God, but instead of viewing soon as in a timeline, think about it as this. The coming is imminent. In other words, the day of the Lord is the next event that is going to happen. We may not know exactly when, but we know that it is imminent. It is coming. And throughout scriptures, God asks us to be alert and ready for this day. And I just love how Jesus says this 3 times, assuring us multiple times that he is indeed coming soon. Verse 17, "The Spirit and the bride say, 'Come,' and let the one who hears say, 'Come,' and let the one who is thirsty, 'Come.'" This is both an invitation and a warning. Let us come to him. Let us invite others to come to him as well, for there will be a day where this invitation will be no more. So Symphony Church, let us come to him, and let us also yearn and long and cry out to Jesus, saying, "Maranatha, come, Lord Jesus, come. He is coming soon." Let's pray. Lord, we wait for you. We long for your return. We long for the restoration of Eden as you'll bring in the New Jerusalem. We long for every tear to be wiped away and for all things to be made right. Creation longs and groans for you. Lord, we can be so caught up in our own lives sometimes, but help us to not lose sight of your kingdom and of the end, to run this race in long and faithful obedience to you, for we want to be prepared for your return. So God, deepen our hearts of love for you, deepen our yearning for you. Help us, Lord, to be obedient in all that we do. May you come soon as we wait upon you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.